Laguna by David Perez. I go. I tell myself, go. You go and you be brave. I don't look away. I come straight from the airport, smelling like vodka and looking like sleep. When I arrive, Diana warns me to tread lightly with my dad. He is slamming doors and stomping around the back bedroom looking for his glasses. When he sees me, he nods and walks into the front yard. Diana breathes in deep and says, he's not doing well. We hear him scream, God damn it, from the driveway. She has perfected the role of stepmom. She knows how to stand about 5 feet back and steer cautiously. I go out to give him a hand. Tired lines are running across his face. He looks older. Who can age in a week? I help him move the furniture out of a steel storage container. Their taste is gauche. Porcelain dolls and tacky cherrywood armoires. Modern chaise lounges with maroon fringe. Tiny crystal figurines of doves all placed pristine and empty. We move the whole lot of it back into the house. We were going to do the floors this week. Then, well, this happened. He pauses, digs into the silence, and fights back the thing that'll take him down. He walks into the house without a word, slams the door. Diana stands on the steps, digging into the silence herself. You hungry? I'll move things out of the storage container so that in 2 days' time, my family and strangers can sit on the furniture so people can stand around a potato salad, so my uncle from my mom's side can bring a ham, so everyone can ask me about Chicago. It's so cold there, mijo, one of my dad's sisters reminds me. You always live so far. I'm always in these conversations. I'm always smiling so fake my temples throb. So, what happened? The lady who worked with Tim at 24 Hour Fitness asks me. I'm really good at hating strangers. I hate this one in particular. She gnaws on a baby carrot and holds her overstuffed plate like a platter. No one's really told us about what happened, so... and tilts her fucking head at me. I pause, I remind myself that murder is a crime, and say in a quite polite voice, it's really none of your fucking business, and walk into the kitchen to get my grandpa a Shasta. Truth be told, I only know the bare bones. When I describe it to the boy I'm going on a series of tepid dates with, I say with the greatest and deepest darkness, well, my junkie brother finally overdosed. Don't worry, he's been dead for years. He puts his hand on my leg, and I retreat inside somewhere, somewhere I will live for a long time. I'm a good liar. I hear myself saying things like, Chicago is good, it's really starting to happen. Chicago is not, in fact, happening. It's the opposite of happening. I moonlight at a new wine bar that directly faces an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting room. I have an internship, and my manager who eats her tiny particular lunches has already given me two verbal warnings. I have been there 30 days. The only thing keeping me from getting fired from my minimum wage internship is this funeral. Chicago is tumbling, and my family seems to be going with it. Much to my surprise, I am strong. I'm strong. I'm stronger than all of them. So strong, I laugh at their weakness. I laugh in my heart when they throw themselves to the ground, when they drink too much and cry into my lap. I laugh in my head when they stay in bed. The strength, the ability to tuck and seal, to drag and drop, it's nothing short of amazing. A superpower? A time bomb. Casey isn't strong enough to give speeches. He cries and raises in pitch when he says, Timmy was always my hero. I follow up. Use funeral voice, inspirational voice. My theater training has served me well. I talk the room into a trance. I take the pauses. I watch them cry. I look back at Casey and he resents me for it. He should. Even here, I have to perform. In 18 months, at Gary, our stepfather's funeral, he will read a Cat Stevens song. He will sob when he reads the lyrics to Father and Son. My analytical brain asks if this song is horribly mischosen as eulogy. I won't have the heart to tell him that. I quietly judge myself for the scrutiny. I imagine that conversation like a campaign manager, conjuring alternatives. I picture us in a car going over drafts of speeches and me suggesting Frank O'Hara poems. Casey, the skeptical politician, says, sorry, boys, I gotta go with my gut. My family is scattered across the floor like broken bags, and I'm obsessed with the performance of it all. I judge myself so much. During the reception, I hide in the bathroom and drink an entire bottle of wine. In the middle of the middle so much, the context of the start seems like a distant peninsula. I try to remember an uncomplicated time when we weren't all scar tissue, when everyone was still alive. 10 years earlier, at the first funeral, I'm chosen to speak when my grandfather dies of two strokes and too much. I make the crowd cry. I'm proud of that in the moment. I transcend childhood in their eyes. I'm smart. I am capable. I don't need them. I'm a Laguna. I'm 19 and therefore know fucking everything. The night of my grandfather's funeral, I have the first in a series of irreversible fights with my mother. In hindsight, I have no idea of the content. I have inherited this inability to fight the real fight. We're always fighting phantoms. In the morning, I pack my clothes with fury. If there were a rocket back to college, I would take it. I try to call a cab, but Gary shakes his head and says, come on. He hadn't perfected stepdad yet, but he was getting close. He takes me from the house to LAX. We cruise down PCH and listen to K-Earth 101. He hums along to Stevie Wonder and tells me shitty jokes. He tries to dig me out of my silence. He taps his fat hands against the steering wheel while I, arms crossed, scowl at the 72 degrees day. Finally, he turns the music off and puts his hand on my shoulder. You know, you could stand and make your approach a little gentler with your mom. I am 19 and therefore obligated to raise my voice and say things like, fuck that, this is bullshit. I like to be treated like an adult. Gary shakes his head and interrupts. You know, faster and louder, I'm not interested in it. I'd rather talk like friends. This is the final fight I ever have with Gary and the beginning of a friendship, though now over email. I will run back to Seattle. I will run to college. I will learn autonomy. I will learn to charm the pants off dudes. I will spend too much time being miserable. I will learn to wear pants that fit. I will wear Western shirts. I will work at cool places. I will get known at bars. I will graduate. I will turn 21. I will have great parties. I will get free coffee at Bauhaus. I will get free coffee at Filter. I will get free burritos at Bimbo's. I will get free drinks everywhere. I will be Seattle in every way. I will start to see how empty culture is. I will get scared. I will meet a boy, and he will meet someone else. I will apply online for an internship in Chicago. I will be accepted. I will leave. But first, I will tell my best friend Sarah over black labels at Linda's. I say it casually with no tact. Yeah, I'm moving to Chicago. This begins a series of fractures. She won't tell me, but I'll catch her crying. But before we break, and we do break, she gets in the Blazer with me. The Blazer being the one and only car I've ever owned. She always gets in the Blazer with me. We have driven everywhere together, and in some ways still do. We drive to California to see my stepsister get married. I have to stop to sleep in Olympia because going away parties always have cocaine. We will eat sandwiches in Medford. I will gag when a spider crawls out of my bologna. I will knock over a jar of mayonnaise. We will sit on the hood of the Blazer in our sunglasses. I will keep a picture of this on my fridge. We will stay in San Francisco. We will be terribly lost in the Tenderloin. We will laugh deliriously. We are lost and, as always, enjoy even the worst moments. We don't know then, but we will both end up here 8 years later. We will sleep that night like the dead. We will wake up late. We will watch Central California fly by like lightning, like energy. We will listen to oldies and sing loudly and unembarrassed. You can only sing like this in front of some people. We will smell cow shit and leave the windows open. I will cry while she's in the bathroom in Salinas. We will get to my parents' home and the wedding machine will have already departed without me. Gary will meet us in the driveway. We will hug and he will turn to my mom in the doorway and say, I got a hug. She'll roll her eyes and ask me to move the car further down the driveway. Everyone will be there. Tios and tias, all my cousins, the great aunts, and everyone else I only see at weddings. Mom will be in the laundry room and she'll give me a brief wave. I'll ask, how's things? She'll answer, we've all been very busy with the wedding. How are you? I'll find the biggest glass of wine. We will all go into the basement. Gary will get a stone. We'll brag about the small plane he has bought. He will beam when he talks about his students and practicing takeoffs and landings. I will make fun of his Tommy Bahama shirt and his shoes I call Planet of the Apes feet. He laughs so hard, he squeezes out a fart, and we all comically run from the basement. He puts his hand on my shoulder and says, don't sweat your mom, okay? She is just, you know, your mom. We'll walk to the beach. Casey and mom will stay and cook together. I'll watch them from the window. They will laugh and collaborate. I'll imagine myself floating backwards through the eucalyptus, suck through the bulk of it, cutting clouds and colliding against the constellations. I'll watch them glow from the periphery, a perfect window square, bright amber in a sea of blue. They will saute and tell secrets why I'm pulled further into the marine layer. Sarah will say, Dave, and I'll be back on Earth, holding an empty glass of wine. We will walk to the beach. We will get my 12-year-old cousin stoned. We will crunch sand in our palms. We will drink cold Coronas with salted rims. Gary will roll an enormous joint. He will tell us stories about seeing Alice Cooper and the Yardbirds, about living on a commune and why the 60s didn't work. Casey will join us and force us to do shots. I'll wake up dehydrated. I'll run a million errands. I'll put on the black suit and the red shirt, and Casey will say I'm dressed like Satan. I'll run a million more errands. I will try not to take it personally that I'm not in the wedding. I will laugh it off. I'll get the caterer to make me a Manhattan. Sarah will spend the day at the beach. She'll be sunburned in her floral dress. My cousin Nick will look at her cleavage. Sarah will say, my eyes are up here, buddy. And we will all laugh. She will touch his arm and we will drink champagne. The wedding will feel perfect. I'll greet everyone and hand out programs. I see Willis, who I don't recognize at first. He will notice when it registers across my face and the subsequent recovery. I will give him a hug and promise to come to the valley and eat carnitas at El Presidente. He's not my uncle. He's not my godfather, but the sinew is similar. I'll remember in the moment he has cancer. I will never see him again. I will miss that funeral. The wedding will still feel perfect. Gary will give a toast. He will sing a Cat Stevens song. We will all cry. He will dance with my stepsister. That will be the snapshot I retain for eternity. When he is gone, he will be still frozen in slow formation, feet stuck in the quicksand of my memory, holding my sister against a new suit. I'll be taking a dump when Hey Ya plays, and I will run to the dance floor. I will dance with my tias. I will perform for strangers. Sarah will be missing, and my mom, in my periphery, dances with Casey. They smile so wide, I go to the far bar and make a drink, mostly whiskey. I get behind the bar, I make drinks for everyone, I have fun, we laugh, the neighbors call, the police, we will dance anyway. I will spin around and see the sea of skirts and suits, the sea of flowers tipped over tables, the sea of trees and whispers, the sea of doubt, the sea of wondering why and wondering when. When will you come home? Though, I'm going further. Why don't you visit more? Though I come twice a year. I spin so much, see so many seas that I sleep in the den. I wake up to children. I wake up to chorizo. I wake up to a timeline. I hug my sister. I kiss my tias. I wake up Sarah, and by proxy, my cousin Nick. They both blush. I carry Sarah's suitcase to the car. I walk across the back of the Blazer and drag my fingers through the dust and stickers. I trace the outlines of all the band stickers. The NPR membership sticker, ANRA sticker that my grandfather had on the truck before he gave it to me. I trace the outline of dust. I make a map of sorts on the back of my car. We get to the airport, and our conversation so far has been nothing. I am hungover, she is hungover, and we both want to go back to sleep. I pull the car to the curb, and we face off. We're always waiting for the other to decide if we're going to be serious. She hands me a stack of CDs from her purse, all with illustrated covers. She says I can't play them until she leaves. I laugh and say, okay, dude. As I pull out of Burbank Airport, I wonder why I didn't say, you are my best friend, and I'm going to miss you. What I think I said is, see you later, fatso. I stop at the freeway entrance and pop in the first CD. The first song is called Stay Where You Are. I park the Blazer in the yard. I never drive it again. Mom and Gary are not home. Casey is back in Santa Monica. My stepsister is on her honeymoon. Nick is back in the bay. Sarah is flying above the coastline. I sit on the steps. The sprinklers click and clap as the caterers disassemble the party. I walk across the lawn and see the wedding has vanished. I see the moment in my family packed 12 chairs high into a flatbed, into the abyss of a U-Haul. I walk out to the beach, but it's too foggy to see the sunset. I'm gonna be fine. I keep telling myself that. All through the first 2 months in the city I don't necessarily love. Chicago is a town built on reciprocation. If you give yourself to it, it'll give itself back. I'll start my internship. I will live in a loft with two Craigslist roommates. I will make their friends my friends. I will start dating a boy who my roommates call douchebag. I will throw small dance parties in the middle of the night. One of these dance parties will be interrupted by a 3 a.m. phone call. Timmy's passed, Dad's voice, though undetectable. And I will pause. And I will pause. And I pause. What happened? I'm stronger than all of them. Just come home. I will return within 48 hours. I will empty the storage container. We will eat stale chips and drink Shasta. Casey and I will perform for the family. Dad will keep himself busy with the trash. I will walk out into the empty street and scream just once and go back inside. Days later, when Timmy's death is ruled an accident, I say, bullshit, audibly. My dad says, well, that's what's on the papers. What do you want me to say? And walks into the yard and sits in the gazebo. The boring bones of it are, he took a bunch of somethings and went to the hospital, and then the hospital gave him something, and he died. I decided then and there not to excavate anymore. I will imagine Timmy alone, under a static TV, with a mosaic of pills drilling a hole through his stomach and into our family. We will scatter him at Laguna Beach. I'll forget the sound of his voice within a year. 2 Januaries later, Gary's plane will evaporate into the Lancaster Desert and make my mom forever foreign to us, unreachable and uninterested. It will be ruled in a mechanical error, a manufacturer's mistake. We will bury him in a mausoleum stacked a row above his father. We will have one funeral and 2 memorials for him. I will skip the next 3 deaths out of self-preservation. I will go back to Chicago. I will meet a boy who can't compete with my nightmares. I will meet another, but by that time, love will feel like a joke, like a limerick. Sarah will come to Chicago and leave. We will break a second time. Years later, we will meet again in San Francisco, but it'll be different. I will be a lagoon. I am a laguna. I will live my life as a laguna. I will be a separate body of water next to the ocean of my affiliated. I will be at another sister's wedding in San Francisco. And I will refuse to perform, and I will refuse to dance. I will feel the foundation rattle under me and shift the gulf even wider. I will say out loud, I am lost, and I know that no one can hear me. I move too far away. I will sit in my Chicago apartment, covered in cat hair and collections of books I don't read, records I don't play, and an echo of myself. I pack it all into 19 boxes, send them to San Francisco. I make a little promise, breakable, but it's a promise to the gallery of ghosts who keep me company. I promise to build, I promise to change, and I promise to come back. It's not all pain, but sometimes pain is the default. I'll try not to be selfish. I'll try to be strong by their standards. I will float with an invisible tether to the sea of all of them. I will always answer the phone when it rings late at night.